started in our midst today. Thank you because the last few weeks we've been on this journey. And it's a journey that has no ending. Because in Hebrews, the Bible says that they sought for a city. And we are always seeking. We are always seeking after. And we can never get to a place called finish until we see you. That is when it is finished. So every day of our life, we are on a journey of discovery. Bible says, we with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we have been transformed from one glory to another, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So Lord, again today, Lord, we come with unveiled face, O God, before you. Lord, let there be transformation in this place. Take us, Lord, to another level. Like that song says, another glimpse of glory. Another glimpse of glory. That's all we cry for today, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I came in this morning, I had a picture of, I've got two kids. And my dad, I've got four sisters and I'm the only son. So maybe that's why I get a lot of treatment and all that. But I realized that when I was growing up, the five of us, we had different ways of approaching our father and our mother. And we had access to our father and our mother, but the relationship was not the same. Something about the last born, that they have this daring way of just going to the father and just asking for everything. And my younger sister, I know she would just go and ask for everything. I'm like, how did you get that? I'm like, how? How is it possible that she gets everything? And we struggle to get things. And that picture just stayed with me this morning. Because we have a father that gives gifts. And some people are bolder to go to him. Like, hey, my father, give me. And some are actually trying to like, well, I'm not sure if I should ask the Father. And when we talk about gifts, we talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Spirit of God. And so we have boldness to ask him that give me gift. Because gift is there to help us. It's there to bless lives. The last few weeks we've been journeying on what the Spirit-filled life is. So we know the Spirit-filled life is a life constantly empowered by the Spirit. Last Sunday, Duncan spoke about the need to love. We walk in love because love is the fulfillment of the law. We are called to love by glorifying Jesus and knowing that we are part of the body. Love must be the motivation for what we do. So last Sunday was powerful. He spoke more about that. If you were not there last Sunday, please do what you listen to, that you to do your word of good. So today we're going to look at what are the gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit? When we ask for the gift, we are asking the Holy Spirit to release what will help us fulfill a Christ-exalting ministry. It gives gifts so that we can give glory to his name. When God begins to use a man more and more, that person must become increasingly humble. The centrality of our message is love. And love is the foundation of everything. When we love people, God grants us gifts to be a blessing to a lot of people. So we're going to pick our text from 1 Corinthians 12 this morning. It should appear on the screen behind me. Okay, now concerning spiritual gift. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord, and there are different activities, but the same God works all in them. In each person, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. To one and the same Spirit is active in all this, distributing to each person as he wills. Oh, Jesus, we pray this morning that the Spirit of God will come and distribute amongst us this morning, that this scripture be fulfilled in our church. The reason why we are going through this series is not, it's not a five-part series, guys. This is real. This is what we want to be every single Sunday. You know, I work in a school, and oftentimes people come to schools to learn best practice. We want our church to be a church where people come and say, what is going on in this church? Because we know we've captured the Spirit of God. We know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we are gifted. And when we say we are gifted, it's not pride. It's what is said in his word. To another, to everyone, God is giving you something. So we want people to come here and know God is in your midst. 2 weeks ago, people said, oh, it was amazing. I'm like, that is where it should be every Sunday. We don't want a one-off. Church is not a one-off. It's not like a run-of-the-mill. It is every Sunday you come here, you know that something is about to happen. You just know. You know, when David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you know he was excited? He knew that something was going to happen. He said, one thing have I desired. He said, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Can you imagine? That when he wakes up, oh, my soul longs for you. As a harp pants for the waters, my soul longs for the Lord. So when we come to church Sunday morning, there's a panting in our heart. There's a longing. There's a desire. You want to know more of him. And I want to start this morning by looking at four key reflections. God help me with the time I have. Say amen. Jesus, help me this morning. Four key reflections. First one, misconception on the gift. I just want to start to just lay that foundation. Because there's a misconception about the gift of the Spirit. The first one, the Holy Spirit does not want to give us gift. He does! He does! In Luke 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish? Oh, thank God David is not here. He knows how to ask, trust me. We'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more? Do you know when Jesus was saying this? How much more? How much more? Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who what? What should he do? How much more? How much more? How much more? He wants to give us gift. That's why he's there. When Jesus was glorified, he said he will come. And he's here. He gives gift. He gives gift. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. He would descend then ascended and give gift to men. Is one is that there is the same Spirit giving this gift. The second misconception is this. You have to merit it. It's reserved for the likes of Jeff, for the likes of Duncan's, you know. Oh, look at Duncan preaches a lot. How can I ever become like him? Oh, it's reserved for the few in the church. No, that's a lie. It's not. It's not reserved for a selected few. He said, give to all. In John 2, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. In fact, Moses saw her day. In Numbers 11, 29, Moses said, when the Spirit of God came upon a few in the tent, and Moses said something profound. He said, are you jealous for my sake? He said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put a spirit on them. It was Moses talking years ago. That God is using me. And so what? My wish is that everyone even have the Spirit of God. And at this time, Jesus had not even been glorified. So can you see Moses? He could see ahead of time that the day is coming. That he wants God's people to be prophets. And the Lord will put the Spirit on them. But a gift, proof of maturity. No. It gives gift to all. Gifts are not proof of maturity. They're not proof, but they are given by grace. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So we have the grace of God by reason of the giftings that God has bestowed upon us. So gift is actually the lower level. It's not proof of maturity. It's what God has given to everyone. They are proof of grace at work. That is what gifts are, the proof of grace at work. But maturity is seen in doctrine, love, order. And I want to bring a balance to that because we don't want gifted people for immature Christians. Because when you are gifted and you're not mature, gift actually becomes an hindrance to one's life. And so we want to say we are going all half of the gift of the Spirit, but at the same time, we want to say grow in love. That's the reason why last week we brought the balance to the message. And Duncan was so eloquent, you know, emphasizing that love is the centrality of all. We don't want to be clanging cymbals, guys. Noisy gongs. Because love is the foundation. We don't want people speaking in tongues and prophesying, and then they're keeping bitterness in their heart. They're not doing what they should do. That's not who we are. Because gift is a product of grace. But as a church, when the gift of God comes upon the church, we want to grow as a church. And that was why Paul, if you look at the Corinthian church, they had the most amazing time. But you know what Paul said to them? He said, I could not even speak to you as unto spiritual. Because they had the giftings, but some of them were so immature. So guys, we are calling ourselves to maturity. We are calling ourselves to maturity. Hebrews 5. Their strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, have exercised their minds. We are calling ourselves to maturity. So when we pray for the gift of the Spirit, we are saying, guys, you need to spend time in God's presence. You need to say, Lord, work in me. Philippians 2, it is God that works in you both to will and to do. So when we ask the gift of God to come upon our life, we are going to our knees and say, Lord, work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, grow. Let the fruit of the Spirit grow in me. Love, peace. Because people who are gifted, they should become more humble. Because the gifted you are, because gift can kill if you don't know how to manage it. In fact, Bible says concerning Moses, he became the meekest man. The meekest man. I'm always afraid when I pray for people, when I bring a prophetic word, because I don't want to get to a place where I'm so proud. I feel like, look at me, I have arrived. And that is what happens in some churches, because we elevate men of God to a point where we believe they are infallible. We believe that there's nothing they can do that is wrong. And that's a balance we need as a church. That gift is not proof of maturity. However, we need to allow God to work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Gifts glow from the Spirit, but maturity comes from the fruit of the Spirit. The gift actually is not for you. That's interesting. The gift of God is not for us. It's not for us. It's for us to do something with. It's for us to do something with. So gifts are given in measures as well. And they come in different sizes. It's not about comparison, but about celebrating gift in others. Because gifts are given in measures. And Christ empowers them at the right time. So we see that as well, that people have different measures of gift. And it's not anything that they've done. It's given by grace. And sometimes what you find is, when people exercise gift, it could be a one-off. And some people may begin to serve using their gift. But in all this is to build the body. And I want to go to the second point. What are the three profound statements made by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12? So there are three things I want to quickly bring out in that. So if we go to 1 Corinthians 12 again, verse 7. He said, but to each of you is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The first thing there is to each one is given. What a statement! To each one is given. That's just, I mean, we can spend the rest of our time there. That's all we need to remember. Each of us has been given something. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the very grace of God. Each has received a gift. Gifts are not for a few, but for all. And every believer has abilities given by the Holy Spirit that can be used to strengthen others. Every Christian is given spiritual gift. Abilities that come freely to meet needs and strengthen the Christian community. We are given gift to be a witness. That's why we've got the gift. The first is to understand that we have this gift and then to begin to use it to serve others. So the first, each is given. And then the second point is the manifestation of the Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, I couldn't just, this word just sat with me for like a week. I'm like, God, each one of you is given the manifestation. What a word! Manifestation. Which means, if I want to say it in a different way, the word manifest means to make what? Visible. To make obvious. To each of you is given the ability to show the Spirit, the visibility of the Spirit. To each of you, a manifestation is a showing. It's a showing. You were to show the Spirit. That sounds a bit like, oh, who are you? Yeah, I'm a Spirit shower. The manifestation is given to everyone. Matthew 5, do you know Jesus never called us anything else, but he called us two things, salt and light. He said, let your light so shine before men. He said, have you seen a man who has a candle and put that candle under a basket? He said, no. The candle shines and everyone sees. Let your light shine before men, that they see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. That is a manifestation of the Spirit. When I go to my place of work, I'm a Christian going there, and I'm there to show the Spirit. I'm not just there as an employee. No, I'm wrong. I'm there as an ambassador. I'm there to show the Spirit of God. Let them know that there's a guy in that place who is a Christian. Let them know that there's something different about me. Let them know. That I'm not just ordinary. I'm not ordinary. I carry the Spirit of God. You walk with a consciousness of who you are. I'm not a weakling. No. I walk to my place of work. I carry the manifestation
of the Spirit of God. If something is wrong there, I should be the one to say, Lord, I'm here. Something has got to change. It's a consciousness. It's the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to everyone. Why? For the common good. For the common good. Let them know I'm in that place and something change. Let them know a Christian in that place because he had the light of the world. So let them see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Let them know where you work. Let them know that this guy, there's something about him. And sometimes when things happen like that, I'm like, well, am I surprised? Yeah, they should know. When I pray for a result in my place of work, I'm not praying for a result because I want to show off. I want an opportunity to say, look, I bow my knees to the Father in heaven. I prayed, and God answers prayer. I want my life to be a witness. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm there. For the common good. So when we come to church and we exercise the gift of the Spirit, it's not for us. It's for the common good. Somebody had a pain in their leg today. Somebody got prayed for. It's not Paul's. God just used Paul to bring a word so that somebody can receive something. It's for the common good. It's for our good. If somebody, if God stirs your heart this morning to find somebody, pray for them. Go, grab them. Pray. Bring somebody along with you. It's for the common good. It's not, nobody is having gift to show. We're not showstoppers. We don't show enough here. We are product of grace. And we have this for the common good. So God has got to help me. I've never even started the gift as well. Mm. So what are these gifts? What are these gifts? Now, the caveat is that on Tuesday, you've got to turn up on Tuesday and Thursdays because we're going to spend more time looking at the gift. So this is more of a preaching, not a teaching. So I haven't got time to kind of delve into all of it because I've got like 75. No, I'm joking. I've got 19 already, so 19, if I take 10 seconds, that is even like that will even do justice to it. But guys, now some of the gifts are actually straightforward, you know, as I will go through them in a minute. What are gifts? They're just God's divine enablement or endowment for believers to serve through the Spirit for His glory. Okay? For His glory. The word varieties, I like contrast, okay, showing different gift while emphasizing their common origin in the same Spirit would drive unity. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 4 to 6, that different gift, but the same Spirit. That different ministries, but the same Lord. That different activity, but the same God works all of them in each person. So whoever speaks as the one who authors oracles of God, let him do so with grace. So, I've got 19 gifts listed. I've just on Tuesday we planned that some of the things I'm going to share. We're going to give this out so that people can actually spend more time just going through the gift, and then we have more time to ask questions and also to pray for one another. So, if you're visiting, maybe you have to delay your journey, but joking, to Tuesday. But what are some of the gifts? I'll just highlight a few of them. Administration. The ability to organize and communicate, managing the running of organizations and events for God's glory. Some people have got that gift of administration. And it's a gift given by God. And what you find is that the four part, actually, there should be a table there, which I've tried to elaborate on. You see, the different parts of the scripture that talked about different giftings, 1 Corinthians 12, there's Romans as well, there's Ephesians 4, and there's 1 Peter. And you can see that sometimes the same gift are repeated in different places. And sometimes people ask, is the gift exhaustive? You know, is it comprehensive? We don't think so. We think that it's the key thing is the manifestation of the Spirit. And the Spirit does what He wants to do. And if the Spirit wants to do whatever at that particular point, so be it. But these are the ones that are actually listed in Scripture, administration, apostleship. Some people are apostles. Apostles is just a sent one. And somebody was sent by somebody to go and represent. Apostles were appointed directly by Jesus with unique authority to teach doctrine, write scriptures, and heal and command. Some people think that the gifts are seized, but he gave gifts to men. To some, he gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave pastors. He gave... and even in commission, we have what we call the apest. I think on Tuesday, Duncan will speak more on that. Apest just means apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors, and teachers. And as a commission church, we believe in the apest structure. That within that structure, we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have shepherds and teachers. Again, got much time to talk, but that would take us a longer time. But we're going to dig deeper into that. Not all our apostles. Apostles are given, you know, God's special grace to plant churches, to go to unreached places, and just you know, do great things for the kingdom. Break new grounds for the church, grow the kingdom, ensure sound doctrine within the churches. And as a commission, we have recognized people. I would say Vinnie Paul, he might not want to call himself an apostle, but we are an apostolic commission. That's what we call ourselves. The commission is actually called apostolic commission. So and we believe that there's somebody that leaves that frontier to the next level. Again, we'll talk more on Tuesday. Let me not go deep into that. Discernment. The ability to distinguish whether a supernatural manifestation, teaching or action, originate from the Spirit. There was a time Paul was working, and there was this young lady. He kept saying, these are the men that brought the word of God to us. And Paul, we just got vexed in the Spirit. He said, get out of here. Get out of her. And that's the discernment, because Paul could discern that this person is not using the Spirit of God. And so as a church, we need discernment. We need discernment. A day will come. And as Jeff was saying, somebody will come forward and say, I'm sorry, we will not take that, because we discern. As an eldership, when somebody comes forward, we weigh the word. We discern, you know, to work out whether should we bring that this time or should we not. And actually, let me tell you, for maturity, that if you have never come forward and not been turned back, then God is not maturing you. You must get to a point where you come forward and you turn back. Because sometimes it's good for you, because God is building maturity in you. I've been in several places that God spoke to me, and I went forward, and I was turned back. I'm like, oh, those are just like, you don't know the word of God. And God said to me, no, I'm maturing you. So it's good. In fact, if you have resentment when you get turned back, it means that you're not mature. Because God gives gift. And if God gives gift, we have to find a way to see how it works in the service. So sometimes we say no, not because we want you, not because the person who is bringing the word, we don't like the person, but it's just that we try to see how it works out in the service. And oftentimes a lot of going on, I don't know if you see it sometimes, when that's why we have two elders leading service. So we talk about where does that fit in the service, because we're trying to work out what's the best way to manage the whole thing. So sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no, because we don't like people, but just because we're trying to manage the service. And that's where order comes in. And sometimes order is very hard to manage, you know, in the service. Evangelism, we are called to evangelize. It's a spiritual ability to share the truth of God's word with non-Christians. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to those who believe. So we are called to evangelize, but there are some people that are gifted more in that space. Encouragement, exaltation, faith. We are, the just shall live by faith. We are called to have faith in God, but at the same time, some people have got the gift of faith. They just believe, they just dare things. They just believe that, you know, when you speak to someone who has the gift of faith, they are so optimistic. They're like, let's go for it. Let's go for it. You know, Caleb and Joshua, when they said, oh, you know what, we can't do this. They said, no, let's go. So people with the gift of faith, they dare things, they believe all things. We have the gift of healing as well. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 talks about the gifts of healing. Okay, so we are skeptical of anyone who parades a gift of healing. It's actually plural, gift of healing. So when you pray and someone gets healed, there's a spiritual gift of healing there. Some Christians seem to experience more healing when they pray than others. And if that begins to happen, then maybe God is maturing you in that gift. And so as a church, we want to recognize people that, look, you know, this guy prays for people more. This person prays. I just want to release people. Because as an eldership, it's not about the four people leading. It's at a corporate entity. We want to say, oh, somebody comes to church. And we say, oh, I know somebody that has a prophetic word. I say, just speak to this person. This person can pray for you. With somebody that helps ministry. We know that if you speak to that person, we know that that person will look after you. So we have different gifts in the church, and we want people to grow in that gift. Words of knowledge, the gift of knowing something by the Spirit that you otherwise could not have known. It's often called the word of knowledge that can be used for church, an individual, or help in pastoral conversation. So we've had that several times in the church. We have word of knowledge. Oftentimes, word of knowledge and prophecy, like, is it prophetic? Is it word of knowledge? I'm not going to go deep into that now because leadership, miracles, mercy, shepherding, guiding people and providing them with what they need in a caring way, often linked with teaching, leading are the wisdom gift. Pastoring is very important. When we talk to people, we want to not just to pray for them. Sometimes you want to shepherd them through that journey. So I just highlight two or three more. Speaking in tongues, next week, Jeff will speak more about that and prophecy. So there are three types of tongues in the Bible. Speaking supernaturally in an earthly human tongue. And then we have a supernatural or angelic language used for praying to God for personal edification. And then doing prayer. And then we have a public tongue, which is a prayer. A public tongue is a Christian prays to God in an angelic language, but prays with the knowledge that this tongue was for the church. In Act 2, we realize that when they prayed, to them, it was an unknown tongue, because they didn't know what they were saying. But to the people, it was a known tongue. So the people got the interpretation of the tongue that they were saying. Now, I've never been in a gathering where that has happened. I've had stories that people spoke in tongues, and then there was somebody who spoke in Chinese, and there was a person there who was Chinese who could actually get interpretation of what was said. Now, we also believe that if that does not happen, that God gives interpretation of tongues. So if somebody were to burst out in tongues in the midst this morning, as a church, we want to wait for that interpretation because we believe that it's a language from heaven, and we want God to speak to our heart and interpret what that person is saying. So speaking in tongues, there's a personal tongue that we have, which is used to edify ourselves. The Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue speaketh to God. So when we speak in tongues, you know, from a personal point of view, we're actually edifying ourselves, and it's what happened, you know, in Acts, that, you know, when they spoke in tongues, they got the interpretation came, and the people understood what they were saying. So as a church, we believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in a personal tongue, and when the tongue is brought forward in a corporate gathering, we want to encourage people to wait for the interpretation of that tongue and see where it leads us to as a church. Then we have teaching, and then we have the words of wisdom. Now, I just want to end with, how do we receive this gift? How? There are two things I want to say very quickly. Number one, it's the operation of the Spirit. It's the operation of the Spirit. It said to one is given, and then it said to another by the same Spirit, to another by that one Spirit, to another. And I've written there, can you put your name? You say, if you look at it, it said to another, that should be, You realize that from that 1 Corinthians 12, it was just saying to one and to another. and to another and to another. And so the question is this. It's the operation by the Spirit. And the second thing is we must have a desire in our heart. In John 7, Jesus on the last day stood, said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Matthew 5 verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And 1 Corinthians 14 and 11, it says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gift." Friends, we have an opportunity to ask the Spirit of God to release His gift into our heart this morning. And I end with the first scripture I quoted. Maybe I can't remember if it was the first one. That if evil men knows how to give, how much more? How much more? How much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask.